You're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got one of these rabble-rousing union members on the line right now. Jamil, how are you from the Australian Education Union?
Good morning, Annie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for getting up to talk to me this morning. Now, obviously, going back to school during COVID or the whole experience of trying to be a school teacher or an educator during COVID has been a very challenging affair. Can you give my listeners some understanding of your world at the moment?
It's a fast-changing world. So the last couple of months we've been teaching remotely. And just this term, the Victorian government's got a reopening plan. And so from this week, we'll slowly be returning on site. So Year 12s have returned on site as of Tuesday this week. And then by around 5th of November, all year levels will be back, primary and secondary, full-time on site.
Which is all a bit pretty scary, actually, considering the numbers are going up, up, up.
Yeah, and even higher than what was expected at the moment. By December, it was expected that there'd be cases about 4,000 a day. And you can imagine how integrated schools are to the community. So already local schools I'm aware of are having cases with either within the school or students getting it beforehand. So if there's cases in the community, they're getting into the schools, and mitigation and OH&S measures are quite important in this context.
Yeah, so you're a delegate on your site. So a core group of you are pushing the Australian Education Union to be quite active in this sphere, right?
Yeah, we've been disappointed with the lack of advocacy around OH&S and trying to keep schools safer during the pandemic by our union. So there's a number of us in the COVID Safer Schools Network that have been meeting. The first time we realised that there was broader concern was, it was over a month ago now, at an inner-city regional meeting where our delegates from the inner-city of Melbourne meet. We passed the motion anonymously. It was around almost 50 people there calling for a couple of conditions before returning on site, for mandatory vaccination for staff, close to 100% vaccination for eligible students, and air filters in every classroom. And none of these have been met as we return on site. So a number of staff aren't fully vaccinated and won't be for a while now. And a majority of year 7 to 11 are not vaccinated. Under 12s won't be at all. At least a quarter of year 12s haven't had their first vaccination either as they return on site. And although it's great that Dan Andrews has ordered 51,000 air filters, we don't know if any schools have received them yet, and the majority of classrooms still won't have them, even with this purchase.
So what you're saying,
a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that there's a mistiming or a misstep between the plan to make schools safe and the time, this so-called, I almost choke when I say this, roadmap, because we've all been seduced by publicity advertising language. A roadmap to freedom is a little bit out of sync. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Definitely. We think that schools as a workplace and a place to study are unnecessarily unsafe right now.
And it's
definitely premature.
Yeah. And so what are you guys aiming to do about this in your own workplaces and in general?
Well, even though a number of us believe that returning on site is premature, there's limited amount that we can do on that front. And so right now we're looking at trying to make work our schools as safe as possible, with the knowledge that that can't be done completely. there's no way of keeping COVID out. The government should be pursuing a policy of trying to keep cases down as close to zero as possible, which they have let go of. So in that unfortunate situation, it's more, we've been meeting and discussing what kind of OH&S measures we can take within schools that can reduce a risk as much as possible. And there's a lot that can be done and a lot that isn't being done on a local level, which is not the message that you hear from Molino or the Victorian government right now.
So you guys are actually creating a list or a to-do list for your workplace?
Yeah, and so like the public school I'm in has been really proactive. So we've been pooling examples together of what schools have been doing, and we've created a checklist, yeah, of a number of things. And a lot of schools have, like, even basic things like making sure each classroom have got windows that can open. That's not a given at all.
No.
There's rooms with really poor ventilation and right now that won't have been audited as schools return. So quite basic measures like that are lacking in some schools, and so there are unionists trying to change that. They're calling union meetings, talking to their HSR reps and trying to push for a number of measures. And then another issue is that schools have not been told who's defined as a close contact and what the contact tracing regime is going to be like school to school. And so unionists returning to their workplace have got no sense of the risk involved if there are outbreaks. So at the moment, if there is a case in a school, literally the school's being told in that moment by the department what to do. And many schools there's not a 14-day shutdown going to remote learning anymore, and there's great uncertainty what the response would be. So that we're asking for clarity on that and wanting a more risk-averse approach.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry. It's it sounds clearly to me that at a community level and a local level, the most powerful actions are going to be at that level, person to person, in communities now, right?
Yeah, we think twofold. So ways in which we can encourage collective action within union branches in schools, I think, would be the most powerful act right now for unionists in schools to demonstrate to the principal that they want certain actions, and then referring to the operations guide, which is the guide that the department puts out that specifies different OH&S measures that are needed, but also to encourage that the school acts beyond it. Like at the school that I'm at, because we don't know when we're going to get air filters, the OH&S committee have purchased a few. And we've ordered a few CO2 meters as well to be able to gauge how well the ventilation is to see if we need to take any further actions. So, but collective action within schools, I think, is the most effective way to bring these about.
Okay.
Sorry.
You were going to say? I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, that's all right. Also, the union hasn't been advocating for a number of these measures as well. So we think that things need to happen beyond a local level as well to encourage the union to advocate for us.
Yeah, yeah. So what you're saying is that the members of the union need to give the union a little bit of a push.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Is there any way people can who are in your industry can keep in contact with keep schools safe?
So AU members are welcome to get in touch and join our meetings. They've largely been discussion based to problem solve in different workplaces to see what individual members can do, as well as talk about what we can do on a broader level to collaborate. across schools.
Thanks, Jamil. Thanks for talking to us.
No worries. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Bye.